The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I am Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And today, we are standing in the capacity of executives of the Bahamian Contractors Association. I'm the president of the Bahamian Contractors Association. Debbie is the vice president. And we wanted to have this show today, which is the title of the show, because I want everyone to listen. I want everyone to tune in, take a moment, sit down, or if you're in your car, listen intently and carefully about this subject matter. The topic of this show today is the Bahamas building regulations and shantytowns. Now, some would hear that topic and say, well, what does that have to do with contractors and contractor association? It has everything to
absolutely
do with contractors and the Contractors Association. The Bahamian Contractors Association is a professional organization that promotes and advances the best practices in construction foremost. We are an organization that advocates for the full licensing and registration of contractors. And thirdly, we advocate on behalf of contractors throughout the length and breadth of this country, regardless of the size of the company, the amount of employees in the company, whether you're doing small works or big works. Everything related to the construction anywhere is related to the Bahamian Contractors Association. And from that vantage point, sometimes we have to use this office to educate. Now, education is big to the BCA. Mm-hmm. This week, we've been promoting and advancing the contractor certification course because education is how we become better.
Yes.
Education is fundamental to what the BCA is about. Now, public education is also something near and dear to me. Having been an educator at the University of Bahamas adjunct for over 10 years, education is important because it advances your knowledge base and provides you with increased ability and removes ignorance.
Well,
and I don't say that in a negative way.
No.
If you don't know something, you're ignorant of it. Go ahead, Debbie.
If I could just jump in there, too. You know, persons say, well, why would you need to be educated? Why would you need education? Well, if you've got kids, and let's say one of them is going to play baseball, right? Mm-hmm. What do they do? What do? You take them to training.
And they learn.
And they train.
Mm-hmm.
And they train. And they train.
Until they
and
become
they train,
great enough
and
to
they
be
train,
a Jazz Chisholm
right?
Jr.
Yes. So why shouldn't contractors do the same thing? You can't, you know, things change. Even the materials that we use have changed from 5 years ago to now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So on that wicket about education, I want to talk to the book. The Bahamian public about an act of parliament that was passed in 1971, amended in 2001. It's called the Buildings Regulations Act. I'm going to read for my Bahamian brothers and sisters who appreciate the laws of a country. The short title, Chapter 200, Bill and Regulation, an act to regulate the construction, alteration, repair of buildings, to provide for the reinstatement or removal of dangerous or dilapidated buildings, to authorize the publication of a building code, and for purposes connected therewith. Assent, this is the act, received its assent on the 7th of May, 1971, and the commencement of this act was the 1st of November, 1971. Now, I highlighted some sections here for all of us to understand why this act of parliament exists in a country, and similar to all countries, this act under section, make sure I got it right, section, chapter 200, section 1, subsection E, building control officer, it's under definitions, means the officer designated to be the building control officer in accordance with section 3. What does section 3 say? Buildings operations include the erection of buildings. This is the person who is responsible for managing this. Erection of buildings, carrying out of any structural alteration or extension to any building. Any, I love the word any. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say just the buildings that you like and the buildings that you don't like. It's a any, all structures, meaning it is in a house. It's any structure. Right. Because we get a little dicey when we get around this conversation with Sanchi Towns. Mm-hmm. And as this president of the association, I'm speaking to the law. Mm-hmm. We encourage our children, ourselves, to follow the law. So I don't like when I see the motive responses to the government carrying out the law. If we desire not to carry out the law, let's not elect a parliament. Let's all go around and shoot each other. Let's all go around and run over kids in the street. No, if we decide that the law is not important to us. Right. But when someone's carrying out the law of the country, you follow the law. So let me read the law. He is responsible for the repair of any buildings, the carrying out of any works, whether of the structural nature or otherwise, for the purpose of effecting a material change in the purposes for which any building or premises is used. And E, partitioning of any space within a building other than the building occupied as a dwelling house by one family, and the demolition of buildings. Building and also building permit means any building permit issued under the provisions of this act. And it goes on to talk about the Deputy Building Controls Officer, mm-hmm. who is Mr. Brent Ferguson, and the Building Control Officer, who is still Mr. Craig Delancey. And yes, I did call their names because the public should know who these very important individuals
yes,
are.
They are.
I've known Mr. Delancey before I went off to university, and I've been home for almost 20 years. So that's me. He's been in that office for a while. Very astute gentleman that follows the law. Section 4 of the Buildings Regulation Act, subject to the provisions of this act, and I'm going to read it very slowly. Section 4, subject to the provisions of this act, no person, didn't say a person you like, no person shall commence means to start, or carry on, or cause, or procure, or to be commended, or carried on any building operation. That means you can't start nothing. You can't build nothing. You can't do nothing. This is the law. This is what this individual's job is. Building operation, save under and in accordance with the conditions of a valid building permit. Now, I want to put just a full stop right there for a second. Mm-hmm. I see people running to Facebook, and I posted something today about what they're doing in Turks and Caicos, demolishing shanty towns, so mm-hmm. for public to know that mm-hmm. not only the Bahamas is doing right. it, other places are doing it. Mm-hmm. The law says if you do not have a building permit, you cannot build something. It doesn't matter if you got 10 children, 3 dogs, and a cat, and you decide that you needed a house and you build it. It's against the law. I will go further in what the law tells you, why you should not have done it, who you should ask permission for do it, why you didn't get permission, and then what he can do.
And where did... Who said that you own the property?
That's not even getting into that. That's a secondary thing. Mm-hmm. But just on the face of the law,
yes,
you cannot build. And I see all these bleeding hearts, and I know how I'm going to sound on this radio, but we are charged with following the law as citizens. And if you come to the Bahamas, the law is what we follow. Don't get upset when we carry out the law. It doesn't matter how long it takes for the law to get carried out. It's the law. The law does not have a statute of limitations on the law. Okay? Okay. Let me continue what it says. Under the accordance of which conditions of a valid building permit and in accordance with the provisions of this act, any rules and the building code. Law and the building code. Continuing, section 2. Any person, and I'm going to say it slow, any person who acts in contravention of the provisions of subsection 1, which is the first thing I read, of this section, shall be guilty of an offense, a criminal offense, and liable under summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $1,000, ain't plenty, $1,000, or to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 6 months, or both. That's what the law says. The building's control officer can levy on every single individual who has erected a structure in a shanty town. This has nothing to do with the minister. This has nothing to do with the prime minister or the cabinet. The job of this guy, whose job is to regulate buildings, also comes with the power to have you brought before the court, fined and or imprisoned.
Do you think the fine is not stiff enough, and
that's why
it's being done? Like North Andras has one of the largest shanty towns in all of the country, and no one up there is doing anything about it. So, yeah, I think. So when COVID happened, and the prime minister said, if anybody breaks the rules, it's a $10,000 fine. Had he done that, nobody would have gone out of the house. But he lowered it to $400 to the first person. If those fines are so low,
and
anybody will do it.
It
should be $50,000.
Yes. I guarantee no one would decide to build a house in the bush.
Minimum.
But we play in this country. And so this is why I'm speaking. And I want to speak this way because from the organization standpoint, we are the Contractors Association. We are telling our members, you don't break the law. If you get a client to tell you, hey, I want to build a house, the first thing we tell our members, ask them for the building permit. Because what I don't want to do, ask them for the building permit and ask them for what, Debbie? Certificate of what?
Occupancy?
No.
No?
The first thing before they even clear the site. Environmental clearance.
Yes. Okay.
We need the CEC.
Yeah.
Before we even start to scratch the ground, where is CEC? Because I don't want to get in front of the courts because you tell me to clear the site and you didn't have a CEC.
That's the law. That's why I still say we need to actually make sure that heavy equipment operators must get a permit for every single time they're on a site. They should be fined.
But no, don't get to them because two of my friends are in an issue because they was asked and paid to go and clear site. And now they're in front of the court.
Well, because if the person didn't have a permit to build, then they're...
They have a permit to build. They didn't get the CEC. But they instructed the heavy equipment. See, this is why I'm telling you, Debbie.
Yeah.
You can't blame... I got contracted to do something. Mm-hmm. You didn't do what you needed to do. The client should get the CEC.
Yeah.
Not the contractor. I was sitting in my office. You came to me, hey, Mr. Heavy Equipment Operator, you see that land over there? I own the land. Here's the evidence I own the land. How much it costs to clear it down? $15,000. Here's the $15,000. Go clear the land. Now, the heavy equipment operation didn't even realize at the time that there was a law. He didn't know.
There's not enough education on that aspect,
so he didn't
for sure.
Even know.
Yes.
And I feel terrible for me. He's in front of the courts now. With a $10,000 fine, he called our friend's name. Mm-hmm. And say they came and pulled him on all the stuff. Hit him with a fine. He had to show it because he said, but the guys didn't pay me. He said, they should pay it. You know, the guys who sent him there, dude? I don't know. Yes, my land, but I thought he would have known. But he's in front of the courts. And that's unfair to the heavy equipment operator. So we got to get that right, too.
Mm-hmm.
But continuing this. Section 2. Any person who acts in contravention of this provision of subsection 1 of this section shall be guilty of an offense and liable under summary conviction to a fine of not exceeding $1,000 and imprisonment for a term not exceeding 6 months, or to both, such fine and imprisonment. So it means that the courts could level you both. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Okay, you repeatedly build inside the shanty town. I can fine you and put you in prison. I can say this publicly. We are too lenient. That's part of our problem. We are too lenient. Mm-hmm. And then when people break the law, and I listened to the lady on radio talk yesterday about the fact that, you know, all hours of the night, people make a noise in the back or in the bush and burning stuff and and we wait till it happens and then we complain about it.
Yeah.
You address it day one. I have an issue with what happened in Nabucco. I saw a photo of a cleared site. And 3 years later, I saw the same site with 300 houses on it. That's a dereliction of duty.
And you know what's
That's
fun.
A dereliction.
You know what's funny?
That
you know,
didn't just magically
you know,
pop up, you
funny
know?
Funny about that didn't and sad at the same up. Time is, you know, the government builds houses for, you know, persons who apply for government mortgages, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. They wouldn't be able to build 300
no.
houses in that amount of time.
You said you could go to do it inside
But the
room.
Illegal people, oh. illegal builders are doing it.
They fast.
Yeah.
fast, we can't speak to the quality,
fast
but they're fast.
And in a hurry.
So section 3 now. If any work is undertaken in contravention of the provisions of this section, then the first time you hear the word minister. We done gone through section 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 2, 4, 3. If any work is undertaken in contravention of the provisions of this section, the minister, without prejudice to his right to take proceedings under the subsection 2, right, of this section in respect to the contravention, may, by notice, require the owner to pull down, remove the work, and if a person whom such notice has been given fails to comply with the provisions, therefore, the expiration of the 28, because I heard someone say again, they only give us 28 days. It's the law. The expiration of 28 days or such further period, not in any case. The lady was on saying, oh, they only give us 28 days notice. Go to the law. The law says the minister will give you the time to break it down yourself.
Right.
The 28 days kicks in after you didn't break it down.
But you,
I can break it down for you.
You broke the law the minute you cleared somebody's property and started to build a property on it. So if you've been living in that house for 5 years, that's a blessing for you because you didn't have to pay anybody for that. No mortgage, no nothing.
No.
Nobody. You've encroached on somebody else's property. So that's,
all of that.
That's 5 years scot-free.
Scot-free, right. And I heard a person saying, oh, well, they didn't give us enough time. No, you had enough time from you built it.
Yeah. If you'd...
I've been here 15 years. Well, you've had that time.
Mm-hmm.
You've had 15 years, actually.
Yeah.
15 years plus 28 days.
You were living illegally for 15 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter when the government comes to fix the situation. It's a breach of the law.
Every day you should be wondering if somebody's going to come with a bulldozer.
Every day.
Every day.
One lady said, they come all the time and harass us. You mean they come all the time and ask you to stop breaking the law? It can't be harassment when you're illegally building.
Right.
And I want people to don't misinterpret. I didn't say that individuals are illegal because there were behemoths there too.
Mm-hmm.
They did something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conversation today.
Correct.
Not their status.
No.
What they did is the conversation today. And I want people to hear me carefully. Mm-hmm. This is not an immigration discussion. This is about the fact that no person shall, under the laws of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Building Regulations Act, build a structure without a valid building permit. That's the law. And the law comes with penalties, as we started to read.
If you and I did that, we would be thrown in jail immediately.
So now it continues on that final section, which is section 3, where the minister steps in, exceeding 56 days as a magistrate. Now, that's you have 28 to 56.
Okay.
Outside of 56, you know, you could call Jesus after that, okay? Exceeding 56 days as a magistrate may, on his application, allow the minister may, I want to read it slow, the minister may, pull down or remove such work and may recover from him the expenses reasonably incurred by the minister in doing so. So now, let me tell you what the law tells you.
How are you going to get the money from them?
You could fine them.
And where are they
going to put them in jail. Don't forget them.
Yeah.
Fine them. Mm-hmm. You could put them in jail. And you could also charge them for the cost of the heavy equipment demolishing and hauling away your house.
Right.
This is why I say we're very lenient. Because mm-hmm. I would levy all the charges.
Yeah.
I don't want people to play with laws. Mm-hmm. Don't come here and tell me I'm being cruel and inhumane when you break the law. And to this law, not only that we just let you move somewhere else, we could put you in jail and fine you, and the minister has the discretion to charge you for the heavy equipment with Debbie, you and I know costs you a lot, mm-hmm. to break down and remove a structure, yeah. mm-hmm. and the hauling away fee.
Yeah.
And the labor hours included with it, with the Royal Mounted Police Force who's there, and Defense Force, and Department of Immigration persons, all their hours I can put on the bill. Mm-hmm. So don't dare come here and tell us how inhumane we are.
Yeah.
That's the law of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, which you should do. Read that law before you decide to break it. Because the law also says ignorance yeah. is no excuse.
You know, we all look to the North, right? We all look to the United States and Canada and all this kind of stuff for everything that we do. And that would not...
You would never
even get that far.
Day one, would have been on the site and you would be arrested.
The second the land got cleared
to police would invade
the neighbors would call the police and say, this is ridiculous. Yes.
So
yes.
We have allowed it. We've caused it because we're lenient as mm-hmm. a society. And we've followed up with our lawmakers are lenient because they're not following the law. So they're part of this problem as well. But in such time that we've started now, and we got to choose as a society. And I say it all the time. I love everyone. I believe everyone has a right to live and exist in the world. But I also believe that everyone has a responsibility to follow the law.
Yes. If killing a person is illegal, then you should suffer the consequences of that.
It's just the reality of life. Okay?
It's another law.
So let's continue, because we have to educate the public on the law so they don't mm-hmm. get mad with our politicians and mad with the people at RBDF and get mad with the police when they go to Shantytown and get mad with the heavy equipment operator and get mad with the heavy truck driver. Don't get mad at them. They're following instructions of the law.
And this law was done before independence.
1971.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They thought it was important before this was a country.
Yes.
To regulate buildings.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the new concept. In 1971, May 7th, they thought this was important enough to go to the parliament and say, let's enact this law. Because this new Bahamas, this country called the Bahamas we can create in 73, could need to have some order.
Yes.
I was telling someone yesterday that one of the things that is ingrained in my mind as an indelible experience is when I traveled to England for the first time. As much as I dislike the colonialism part and the ills of that country, I immensely admire their order.
Mm-hmm.
I was flabbergasted. I went to take a bus somewhere, and I did not know what I was witnessing. I saw a person queue up behind each other without talking. Freaked me out. Just 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
Just queued behind. I said, what is this? What magic trick is this? They have rental bikes
mm-hmm.
that you put 50 cents or a dollar in.
Yeah.
And people return the bikes. What madness is this? And I imagine why they probably return them. Because the penalty for probably stealing one of them it's probably so severe that you dare not steal it.
Right.
But I saw order in which I've never imagined as possible in my country. I rode the tube the whole time I was there. Got from where I was living downtown London in less than 5 minutes to and fro all other hours of the night. And I'm like, where did I arrive? Because I couldn't imagine this level of order.
So they would have crime, but they would not have crime the way our level of crime is, because we have no order.
We have no order. Our challenge is order.
We have amazing laws on the books that are not abided by.
Not abided by.
Not abided by.
And not enforced.
Definitely not enforced.
And then when we attempt to enforce them, we get upset with the people who's doing the job. That's what I don't understand. That's the part of this, what I don't get, you know.
You know the old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? But everybody's out there trying to get a free lunch. And, you know, I do understand that, you know, you really don't have money for a house. You really don't have money for rent. But you're working, correct?
Then you probably shouldn't be where you are.
Right.
Maybe. The reason why, Debbie, you haven't immigrated to New Zealand or America or China is because three things I have to question before I go there.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can live.
Mm-hmm.
How I can sustain myself.
Correct. Well, how am I going to sustain myself first? Because I need a job because I can have somewhere to live.
I wouldn't even dare go without a job. Like, yeah. I see that thought can't come into my mind.
Right.
Because I know for sure mm-hmm. I can't go to America. First of all, there ain't got enough bush for me to live in. So I ain't going there to go look for the bush to go build house in. Right. Secondly, I could need sustenance.
Right.
So if I don't have a job, that's why I can't go. It's simple as that for me. But that's another mm-hmm. topic. Continuing the Building Regulations Act. Section 5. 5.1, an application for the grant of a building permit shall be made to the building control officer in the prescribed form and shall be accompanied by copies of all plans, drawings, specifications, calculations, and such other particulars, including particulars of any permissions or license which may be required under any other law relating to the building operations as may be prescribed. So what that whole conversation talked about is when you want to do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the education for every citizen in this country. When you want to build something, you're following what is set out in section, this is chapter 200, section 5 of the Building Regulations Act, 5.1. An application for the granting of a building permit shall be made to the building controls officer, which is at the Ministry of Public Works, in the prescribed form. They have a form for you to fill out as an application for a building permit and should be accompanied by copies of your plans for what you want to build for them to review it, specifications, drawings, calculations, if the engineering stuff was not, and any other particulars, including particulars of for the permission or license which may be required under this act. All they're saying is you got to do things in a formal fashion
right.
to get a permit to build something. So every argument, which I've heard from Down Meguana all the way to Grand Key, if you did not request a building permit to build something, the building control officer can remove that structure. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. It's not personal. It's not political.
No.
It is the law.
Mm-hmm.
It is his responsibility mm-hmm. to regulate buildings in this country.
Well, there's been some incidences in this country with legitimate builders that have built on the wrong lot because the surveyor that they hired maybe didn't know about a change that was done on the plan or something, right? And they've actually had to remove buildings and do it again.
Yeah.
Either that or what they do is you can actually try to make an arrangement with the person that you built on, right? Or are building on. You make an arrangement where you would trade off another piece of property for that piece of property if that person's willing to do it. But if they're not, that's their property and you definitely have to take that sucker down.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So We opened up with that because, like we mentioned before, it's important for you to understand what is going on in your country.
Mm-hmm.
You see the demolitions and you may be emotionally attached to what's going on. So where are the people going to go? All that is, to me, that's outside of the premise of which the law created order. Debbie, you and I say we live on two different ends of the island. I live in a community that's pretty normal to me, you know. In your community, maybe a little more fancy than that, whatever.
No, it's pretty normal. It was a regular subdivision, and then when people got robbed, we put a gate.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah.
How would you like, in your community where you live, 15 clapboard houses built between you and your neighbor's house?
Well, if somebody else didn't run them down, I would.
Okay, then. Okay.
I would.
It diminishes the value of things that are orderly.
Right.
That's the point.
It ruins, yeah. It
That's
your,
the point.
Your property value disappears.
And the people who defend shanty towns must not own property.
No.
Because it costs too much to acquire it for you to willingly allow something to diminish its value.
Yeah.
Most Bahamians in this country struggle their entire lives to own land for someone to come and diminish the value of your land. Why would you want that? It's not personal.
No.
It's the fact that that's why the law exists. Laws exist to help preserve the value of your thing.
Right.
So I don't want to see another Bahamian who cares about this country ask question about why are they doing this? Could they find another way? Why didn't you ask the question, why did the individual go and break the law? That's the first question. And if you can justify that by saying, well, they needed somewhere to go, you know what I like? I like Rosslyn Square as a great place to set up my drum-making shack, and I should put it there. Or Bahamas Lawn, or Government House Gardens, I'd like to put a B&B if we don't care about order in a society.
If you spoke to the same person who would be, you know, defending that, and then you also spoke to them about if one of their family members was murdered, right? Would they have the same opinion of...
No.
No,
they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
Because that's emotional for them.
Exactly.
Right? The other was not emotional.
Emotional. No.
No. It was, this is my... I need this. Nobody's on this land.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm doing it.
I'm going to take it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we talk about building codes, and we talk about building goods, proper structures. Are these electrically sound buildings?
No. Running drop cords between here and there.
Yes. What about the plumbing? Are there septic tanks? Is there?
No.
How do they? You know, are they just polluting the water on the ground underneath where they are? Would the building blow down in a hurricane?
Yes,
Dorian. We saw that.
Yes.
Are you really protecting your family?
No, you're not.
No.
And then the second part of that. If we allow it, let me go to the opposite end.
Mm-hmm.
If we allow it. If we say, let's not do anything about it, we risk the same issue we had in Dorian. See, your house has a number, doesn't it?
Has a number?
My house has a number.
Yeah.
The government knows where my house is.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that something's happening, they can reach me. They can put a letter in my door. They can tell me, I need you to move.
Mm-hmm.
There's something catastrophic coming.
Yeah.
You have 300 houses inside the mud, pigeon bees. Anybody know about 300 houses, 400 houses, 550? So you after the
and they don't know who's there because
aftermath, you know, I don't know, it's 1,000 people there, 300 people there, 200 people. I don't know. See now, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then everyone gets to pointing fingers. Oh, come on, well, you didn't know. Oh, you mean you, the government, you didn't know how many people died. Well, how would I know?
You think they're knocking on those doors at election time and saying, "Hi, I'm running for this constituency, the mud."
What?
No.
Because it's not a part of your regular building. That's why governments don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not formal living. The same way when the government comes in your community, in my community, and decide that we need to improve the water system, they count the houses on your street and say, okay, the pipe here needs to probably increase by so-and-so because I see you at this amount.
Mm-hmm.
When they stop at your street, someone built in the bush behind you, how are they going to run water there? They figured this was the end of the street. Not behind the bush, through the cul-de-sac and through the shortcut.
And, you know, as a country needs to have statistics. We need to know exactly how many people we have. We need to know exactly
where they are. What do they do?
Because we need to know about, we've got education, we've got hospitalization, we've got all of these things that are, the government is responsible for these things.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, we don't even know. We just say, oh, we have around 400,000 people.
We don't even know.
We still don't know.
So we got a caller. Let's take a caller right now and see what we got to say about this. Caller, go ahead. You're live.
Good afternoon to Ms. Deal.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm happy that you started for you. I called in when you, just prior to you making note about we need to know how many persons I hear. You know, that's very, very, very important for so many different reasons. Not only for housing, classroom space, you're talking solving crime, generating a realistic budget, because you can't really have a realistic budget if you don't know how much people in the country.
No, absolutely correct.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Education, so, how many schools?
You'll never have a balanced budget.
No.
But listening to you, read this law, which has been around since 1971. So what could have prohibited the former government when they were stopped by a Supreme Court judge when they were trying to demolish those shanty towns in Abaco? What could have prevented them?
Them reading
the
law.
Didn't the judge know this law?
Them reading the law.
That's a little...
No, but the judge made the ruling.
The judge made the ruling because of, and I'm going to be very honest with you, because of a procedural shortcoming of the AG's office at the time.
Well, you're in bad trouble. If that could happen like that,
a procedural
on a level
mistake.
After a natural disaster, mm-hmm. and no one in the AG office understood the law?
Do you see what I read and I prescribed? Yes, there are certain things, and I stay on the line. Let me tell you what they miss. And from my understanding of the situation, what I did study and research, you have to first, when they decided to post the 28-day notice, it was a misstep. Because what they should have done is posted notices before that, citing the law that said you breached the law, then give you 28 days to remove it yourself or vacate, then post the 28-day, and at the expiration of the 28-day, the government and the building control could then demolish.
Right, rather than assuming that the persons knew that.
No, exactly.
Yes.
It was a procedural mistake. I did speak to that all the way back in 2022, and I pointed out the law. I don't see how the AG at the time missed that.
And another point that I would like to make. Those shanty towns been around from the devil was a baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It seems.
Yeah.
Not only are they a breeding ground for criminality,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about damaging our water table,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all of these other stuff. Is election next year or election close?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like this government also had a new revelation in respect to this piece of law that has been on the book since 1971. Because why would they allow, if we had a law pre-independence mm-hmm. on our books, why would they allow these shanty towns to proliferate? I mean, I'm a descendant from Abaco. I remember when the pigeon pea
mm-hmm.
mud was the size of a 60 by 100 piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it today.
Oh, yeah, I remember passing the peas when I was in Abaco. It was a couple of houses back in 2008, 2009. It's hundreds of houses now.
Again?
Yes.
It's hundreds of houses.
Again?
But why would they, and another thing too, immigration, the Bahamas of immigration know the law. They know it pretty well for
they
someone
know it well.
Politically
mm-hmm.
and economically connected or in terms of their social status, right? But if I want to bring in someone to work, one of the primary things they ask you for, do you have housing?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things they ask.
Yeah.
But then even after Dorian, the former government was flying these people around all over the Bahamas trying to pay for shelter, paying for room. Many of them were on work permits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They, at the taxpayers' expense.
We missed a lot of opportunities.
I wish election could
right.
be every 6 months. You know,
I second that suggestion.
Election time, they learn sense.
Yeah.
And they
that,
start doing things
they
that,
lose it.
Which should have been done many decades ago. And as soon as the election over, they go back into sleeping mode
mm-hmm.
mode again.
No, but I totally agree.
It's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very embarrassing. I'm sure you have persons who are perhaps visiting or who are perhaps permanent residents who is listening to you on this show.
Mm-hmm.
It's embarrassing to see how jokey we are. As a country, we don't use common sense and intelligence.
They
use some other things to govern.
It's
very embarrassing. embarrassing.
But Leonard did mention also that not all of the persons that live in shanty towns are foreigners.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of Bahamians
yeah,
that are doing it
Ms.
as well.
Ms. Beale, that's a trick from the pits of hell. Because we know, see, this is a new phenomenon, you know, where they start calling persons who they regularize bohemians. This only happened, if you go back 2 years ago, you will see where they were calling them, or 3 years, 4 years ago, you see where they were calling them, some other nationality along with bohemians. But this is a new phenomenon now where they say they are bohemian. But, you know, we know what the problems are. They were regularized. We know exactly. Yeah. But they're not really bohemian because they didn't follow the law and they don't have no legal standing to be regularizing persons the way they are doing. There's no legal standing in law.
And no respect for the fact that the country has somehow allowed them to stay and somehow allowing them to have jobs. I mean, without just putting them on a boat and sending them back.
But you made a statement, because I'm still doing some research on this. You made a statement when you said that when you were in the UK and you saw and you spoke on what you saw, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to find out. I'm looking. You're a person who have been in the Bahamas for 25, 30, mm-hmm. 40 years who are still on work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Does this practice happen in any other country on the planet?
I can't.
Where persons can be on work permit for 30
indefinitely,
years?
Indefinitely. I can't speak to whether it can or cannot happen or does not happen.
I can't find anything where
it certainly is interesting. It certainly is interesting that the need that existed 30 years prior continues
to be.
And you know, Carla, thank you very much for your contribution, and thank you for calling into our show. I want to continue with this.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about this, and I had the conversation with the Minister of Public Works, with the Minister of Immigration, I said, hypothetically, if someone said I needed a carpenter in 1985, and that individual still needs a carpenter in 2005, you should be asking more questions than how good the carpenter is. Yeah. It's absurd. But this is the government of Bahamas.
$100,000 home.
We gotta take another. Let's take this quick call before we go to the break. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, man. For some reason or the other, with all funds and jokes aside, we cannot be. There's only so much this country could do as it comes to the migrants and what have you and all that other stuff. We only a little dot on the map, and for that reason, we cannot be selling our bird right out, because it can come back to haunt us. Because you give these people documents and stuff, next day you wake up, you find ourselves with a Haitian prime minister or governor and stuff like that sitting in a chair, and they only got luck out for their people.
Okay, probably.
So, it's a dangerous thing. Your passport is a sacred document.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And it should be handled as such.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my take on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, thank you for your call. You. Appreciate it very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are overdue for a break. Let's come back right after these messages.
Know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When you're building renovation projects, our go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the out islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. Before we get started, Debbie, you want to take it away?
Yes, so we'd just like to thank our sponsors who make this show doable for us. So we have this week ART, we have CB Bahamas, we have Bahamas Safety Solutions, we have Veritas, which are the people that are going to be doing our contractor certification training
on Monday.
Yes, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And Family Guardian. So thank you so much for making this all possible for
awesome.
Us.
Caller, we see you, and we will come to you right now. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I really appreciate it. I listen to Nail It just about every week.
Awesome.
Yay,
thank you.
Thank you.
But it has been more than provocative this afternoon.
Mm.
This evening. I like to, like I said, free independent, right?
Yeah.
It's really something to think about, right? And while like you said, it's not really an immigration matter per se, but just look at it realistically. Duncombe tried, said some things that is really, what you said alone as a host, being in England and see what you encounter while they are going to school. And to come back here and say, okay, pre-independence, we had a country where you could, in 71, you could literally count the amount of foreign people, not just Haitian, foreign labor at all.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally count them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when the late Loftus worker was privileged to speak with months before he died, and we had an in-depth conversation because I know he was doing a splendid job up until the time he was there in the 87 election. When he was doing the campaign, he made it clear that he had tolerance for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you are here illegally, he was asking you to leave. He don't care where you come from. Just leave this country. Mm-hmm. And he was doing such a splendid job. And then Prime Minister just went ahead sometime later, I'm going to move you. And ever since he moved Loftus Roker, to everything went haywire in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said these things. He said, this will come home to roost.
Yes.
And he lived long enough to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we have nobody to blame than ourselves and our politicians that should have been charged with treason. Seriously, I'm serious about this. They should be charged with treason because it's a crime against the state. And that's what they committed. Past and present. They commit crime against the state.
Yeah.
Just remember now, they try to do that to random
folks
some years ago over some political thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they could have tried to do it to him on the grounds of politics, why shouldn't we hold our members in parliament and our government accountable for this situation that we have now?
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. Yeah. Thank you. I put it
straight on the point. I'm making no apology for nobody, past and present, as failed us as a people.
The carrier of the laws. I totally agree with you.
The carrier of the law, because the law is quite clear.
It is quite clear.
It is. Yes. Thank you very much, caller. Appreciate you calling into this show.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, on part of this conversation that we decided to have today, it's not to create a adversarial relationship between the persons who occupy the illegal structures and homes we know as shanty towns. It is for the Bahamian public to understand more the laws that govern their moving about. One of the things that I often talk with when I have an opportunity to sit and chat with friends, the fact that we don't learn our laws. You can ask a 10-year-old child in America to name articles in the Bill of Rights, and they can recite it. The average Bahamian knows nothing of our laws, and if they start to tell you their laws, they can tell you most of the American laws. One of my brother, he's a police officer in the Royal Bound Police Force. He's ASP, was an assistant inspector. What's that? ASP. Some high rank. And he said, an individual started telling him, I have a right to remain silent, and say, this is not America. Find that inside our law. Well, you do not have a right to remain silent. That is a Miranda law.
Yeah.
That's American.
Mm-hmm. You've been watching too much Law and Order.
You've been watching. And he laughed and he said, that's your problem, you know. And he says this to the individual, that's your problem. You all live in the Bahamas and think you're operating like you're living in the United States. The Bahamas does not have a right to remain silent law.
Uh-huh.
We don't have a case of Miranda versus the state that established that law.
Right.
We don't have Roe versus Wade in the Bahamas.
No.
Brown versus the Board of Education. You need to understand the laws in your country.
Right.
So my charge to the Ministry of Education, that civic class, teach the laws.
Yes.
So when a would-be contractor gets a call by somebody to go and build something, he knows what the building regulations act says. And if you know it and willingly breach the law, that's where you get in problem. But I want to go to part of this Building Regulations Act, which speaks to every single person's responsibility. Debbie, did you know that under the Buildings Regulations Act, it says, subsection 7.4, any person who, knowing or having reason to believe that the building permit in respect to any building operation has been suspended. So you may have it, but if someone believes it's been suspended, performs or causes or allows work to be performed, any work in conjunction with such building operation other than any work required by the building control officer under Section 2 of this section on the other date of such suspension. I mean, if you do work after they suspend the building permit, is liable to be guilty of summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $5,000. Now, that's interesting. If you get a building permit, Debbie, and for whatever reason, the Ministry of Works suspend your building permit,
yeah,
and
put,
you still
put
continue
a stop order.
To,
yeah.
And they put a stop order,
yeah,
and you still continue,
mm-hmm,
your fine is $5,000. Five times the amount it would be if you built something illegally without a building permit.
Wow.
So if you get a building permit, that's how important it is. If you get a building permit, and then they, for whatever reason, they say you're in violation, and they stop you, and you continue, the fine is five times more.
Wow.
And, or to summary imprisonment for a term not exceeding 6 months or both.
Wow.
That's a provision in the law again. That's how important it is for us to follow the Building Regulations Act. Mm-hmm. That's how important the job of the building control officers. Right. They put all the power even, in this individual.
Even us contractors that do go abide by the laws, right? And for some reason, you think that you could go ahead and do it.
Oh, no. But this is why we're having this conversation here for our contractors.
Right.
I don't want any contractor that's in our association to go before the courts for breaching the law, calling us and say, well, can you all come and help us get out of the situation?
What?
No, no, we can help you right now. Understand the law. You have a stop order on your site. Stop work. Stop work until you got the stop order removed.
Right.
Because if you do so, it's in the summary conviction. You know what summary conviction mean? They don't have to find you guilty. You assume guilty by breach. That's what summary conviction means. Mm-hmm. You don't have to prove your innocence or guilt. You're assumed guilty for breaching the law. Don't put yourself in that scenario.
Right.
Because you can then be subject to the $5,000 and 6 months or both.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. This is the information for contractors. And I think I want every building contractor in this country who listens to the show right now, download Section 200 of the Buildings Regulations. That's all I did inside. I put in the Building Regulations Act.
Mm-hmm.
It came up. And I say, I printed page 1 to 15. You know how many pages inside there? 71. I printed page 1 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Within 15 pages, I understand the essence of the whole lack, and I ain't gone through all other things.
Right.
It's 71 pages. I printed page 1 to 15.
Right.
Could you imagine how much more there is there?
Wow. But the pages that you've already read are very specific.
Very specific.
And it's not like it's a trick the way they've written it. They've written it so that everybody and anybody can understand it.
So we got to do better.
Yeah.
As a society.
Yeah.
I want our contractors to be knowledgeable of the space they're working in. And this is what we talk about all the time, Debbie, as the BCA.
Right.
The BCA wants the best contractors performing the best way for the benefit of all Bahamians.
Yes.
That's the desire.
That's the desire.
Not for you to do willy-nilly stuff and be like a bunch of cowboys running around the place. And no, we don't want that.
No.
We want professionalism.
Yes.
We want persons to know and say, tell the client, well, I'm sorry, I know this is sound, the $10,000 sounds good, but what I can't do is stand in front of the courts for violating the CEC.
Because it's the old one bad apple in a barrel, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a number of persons that are doing something like that, it just makes all of us look bad. And we're not bad. Most of us actually are doing a great job. We're doing everything by the books. You know, we're not, you know, cutting corners. And, you know, we don't need that kind of image. Because that what'll happen is, you know, we now have, you know, social media that'll spread all over town.
Before I go on to close with the show and talking about our construction certification course, I want to read Section 14.
Okay.
And I want to put in the public hearing right now, and the person said the AG's office and our parliamentarians who are hearing me, Section 14 needs to be amended.
Okay.
Let me read why Section 14 needs to be amended. Section 14 of the Building Regulations Act. A person who willingly obstructs any person acting in the execution of this act or any rule or order or warrant issued thereunder shall, in any case in which no other provision is made by this act, be liable on summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $150. And further fine not exceeding $25 for each day on which the offense continues thereafter conviction. So that means if the Ministry of Public Works sends a heavy equipment there and you stop the heavy equipment from operating, you could be fined under this act $150 per day. I want it to be $10,000. Because on that first day, I want you to have a severe penalty for stopping the government from doing the job.
Absolutely.
Because
for $150, I mean,
I'd stand there for a good 10 days if I really, you know, $1,000.
They would spend that at a gaming house.
Exactly.
So it has to be something that is going to make their life very difficult.
Yeah,
very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Yes.
So that needs to change. Section 14, that fine should be changed.
Mm-hmm. And we
and then it's only $25 after that.
And we have to stop thinking, oh gosh, but I can't charge that much money because they're not going to have that much, that kind of money. That's the point.
The point
that's
is.
That's the point in a financial penalty.
Yeah, you don't want someone to
make
be able to
it difficult.
If
you make it easy, just like COVID, everybody said, I don't mind the $400 fine. I'm still going to go out and party. You know, I'd spend that if I was going out partying anyway. So why not just, I'll pay the fine and I'm going to go out and do it, right? Yeah, so, we need to start that.
Now, before we get off the show, we have to remind the contractors out there who want to be, to have the advantage over everyone else. As the many contractors already signed up the program, I think we probably only have 8 slots left in the course that starts on Monday, the contractor certification course. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, this is the final thing I want to note about this. You could say you're a contractor, but if you're a certified contractor, that means something different to an individual listening to. We talk to clients all the time. We talk to persons who are from outside the country with lots of means in their seeking to do houses here. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, so what I understand is that you just need to get a business license, and he's a contractor, everyone's a contractor. Mm-hmm. But if you pull up your certificate that says I'm a certified contractor, mm-hmm. that's power. That's value. Mm-hmm. That demonstrates that you have attained a body of knowledge that is verifiable. And I like that's what I'm saying. It's verifiable. Mm-hmm. Look at a book you have to go through in 3 days.
Yeah.
It's a 350 pages of content, and then you have to take an exam on it. That's 2 hours.
Right.
It's not a little pushover thing, but it is something that many contractors have already done, found it incredibly valuable, and they've valued that training every day since.
Because it actually teaches you actually how to run a business as well as be a contractor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said earlier today when I was on the show, they don't teach you in school how to have a bank account and how to actually balance anything, right?
No.
So we have to learn it our own way.
Our own way, yeah.
And oftentimes people are, you know, your eyes get all glassy mm-hmm. when you get a large check because mm-hmm. it's like window and door stage and you may get a huge check. All of a sudden, it's just like you don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what we should do with it,
you buy
but
it down
does that happen or does that not happen? Yeah. And, you know, if you haven't priced a job right, that could be when you start getting very scared mm-hmm. because you realize that the money left over is not going to be enough to finish mm-hmm. it. So this course will help eliminate all of those things. And it's something that you can actually look at every single day. Do you know in the States and Canada, as an example, mm-hmm. people are taking courses on a regular basis mm-hmm. in the trade that they're in. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they just do once and go, I've done it.
It's continual learning.
You know, it's continual mm-hmm. learning. I mean, that's why they have continual learning mm-hmm. in everywhere.
Continual education and consistent. Because you want to continually improve your skills, sharpen your skills.
Yes.
And be better every day. I mean, what that's the goal in life, isn't
yes.
it? To be better every day.
Enhance your craft. Yes. So you can be very proud of what you do.
Debbie, this conversation was delightful, but I think most importantly, the opportunity to share knowledge with the Bahamian public is a gift.
It is.
And persons who sit behind the mics must recognize that while there are some days when it's fun and jokes, and there's some days where it's delightful and only that, the responsibility on public radio to educate.
Right.
And this is private radio that reaches the public audience. Mm-hmm. The responsibility to educate is the responsibility of persons who host shows across the country. And I think we as a society sometimes don't appreciate the great value that radio provides to the public.
Right. And that's what we've done from the very beginning. Even when we started talking about we're going to do this show, mm-hmm. we started talking about education.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that we have... You and I have always said, this is what we're here for. This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have learned something about the Buildings Regulations Act. Mm-hmm. We hope that you have learned about the importance of following the rules of a country. And I hope you appreciated that the contractors in this country must know the law if they're going to act on your behalf, act in a way that's in accordance of the best practices in the country. And so the BCA is all about promoting best practices. And shows like this help to increase the knowledge base of all contractors in this place.
It sure does.
And this has been another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian
96.9 FM. Yeah. Good night, Bahamas. Now it's the two of us again, against the wind, against the wind. When it rained down and the flood came, and the wind blew hard like a hammer on me, formed. We didn't crack or break or fall.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
But a sickness more than crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack up, because I rot in steel.
I guarantee five of steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and men. And then over time you start to rotten. And just like a flower ball crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and our crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home. Not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.